Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this Epiphany Sunday, our guest preacher was Reverend Carrie Veal, and her sermon was titled, Eureka, I Have It, and So Do You. Here's Marty Glazier with our scripture reading.
Matthew 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. From you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. And when they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that had been seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down, paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Greystone. I'm honored to be with you on this Epiphany Sunday. I want to thank Chrissy for asking me to preach, and I want you to know that April and I did our seminary work together and have known each other for many, many years. So thank you for having me. When I was a teenager, I had a poster of Albert Einstein in my room. On the poster, it said, Imagination is more important than knowledge. I loved this quote because I was not a very good student, but I had quite the imagination. So I thought, if Einstein, the smartest person ever, believed that imagination was more important than knowledge, who was I to argue, and I needed this poster hung on my wall. It gave me a little backup when my parents were frustrated or concerned about my lackadaisical attitude towards school. Whenever they would come to talk to me about this ongoing topic, I would just point to the poster. It didn't get me out of doing any work, but it was a nice reminder, even to myself, when I was irritated with the work that lay before me. In our text today, we are again meeting the Magi who are on their quest, following a star to find a new king. Theirs was a belief system that was built on the stars, things that were unknown, untouchable, required some imagination, some possibility, and most of all, curiosity. In Lewis Carroll's book, Alice in Wonderland, there's a scene with Alice and the Queen of Hearts. In the middle of this scene comes this conversation. I cannot believe that, said Alice. Can't you? The Queen said in a pitying tone. Try again. Draw a long breath and shut your eyes. Alice laughed. There is no use trying, she said. One can't believe impossible things. I dare say you haven't had much practice, said the Queen. When I was your age, I always did it for a half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I believed in as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. I feel like this quote speaks to the journey of the Magi on that first epiphany. These Magi knew that there were impossible things in the world that could be possible. So if you will, be like the Queen of Hearts for just a moment. Take a long breath and put yourself in the story. Use your imagination and be curious. You are standing on the streets of Bethlehem. There is a caravan that you have heard about. These strangers, so many of them, who are coming to your town. As the caravan passes you, you notice their clothes, the sounds of their speaking, words and tones you've never heard before. You see their animals and their instruments. You notice their smells and the way they carry themselves as they move down the street. They seem to know exactly where they are headed. You have heard tale of this group following a star that they believed was the sign of a new king. This group is focused and not dissuaded. You see them enter a small house, the home of a local carpenter and his wife. You wonder what that's all about. You linger a little longer, watch them come out of the house and depart your town. What are you thinking as you're standing there? What are you feeling? Is there anything stirring in you? Anything calling to you? Are you inspired to learn a little more? Or do you just want to get back to your life? In this epiphany, this first epiphany, these magi were inspired to chase something. They were enthralled with a star that was unlike any they had seen before. And they risked much to go after it. Like the Queen of Hearts, they imagined a king that would fulfill what the prophets of Israel had foretold. Things that seemed impossible. They had the imagination, the desire of possibility, to leave their world and enter a new one, just to see what might be. Their curiosity allowed them not to remain in their comfort. In their life, they had to see what this star was all about. If we're honest, there is so much strangeness in this story for us in 2021. Aside from all of the obvious, we're living in a time where we cannot go anywhere, we really cannot see anyone, and we really cannot chase after possibilities. Or can we? Like Alice, we too have been living in a topsy-turvy world. We have waved goodbye with maybe a don't let the door hit you on your way out to 2020. We did the holidays in a global pandemic. And like Alice, we continue to encounter things that are not as they seem. They are not as they should be. They are not as we want. And yet, here we are. We have celebrated the birth of Christ, and we hopefully found the peace, joy, hope, and love of God in a new way, a way that maybe we needed, a way that maybe we didn't even know we needed. So what made these seekers, these Gentiles, these magi follow a star? Same thing that made Alice follow the rabbit. It was unlike anything they had seen before. Now, they were used to looking up, searching for answers in the sky. This was their routine. We can imagine they had seen other phenomena that could not be explained, and they had probably traipsed after those as well. And what did they find? Well, we don't know. And if we're honest, we have to admit that not every shining object is worth chasing. And yet that does not stop us from going again and again after the shiny object. Why? Because what if this time it's more than just shiny? What if this time it leads us to something we never imagined? Curiosity. Imagination, possibilities. These were the driving force for the Magi, and they can be the driving force for us if we allow ourselves to close our eyes, take a deep breath. In his book, The Disappearing Spoon, author Sam Keen tells tales of how the periodic table came to be. As someone who is both amazed and baffled by science, this book was so fascinating to me. Each element on the periodic table has a story. Some elements were discovered accidentally, while others were sought after. Many of the researchers and scientists were so obsessed with their work, and they fought to have their names associated with the element they found, or in honor of a predecessor who had laid the groundwork for that discovery. One element named after Albert Einstein was probably inspired by his belief that, quote, "I never made one of my discoveries through the process of rational thinking." So what does all of this have to do with Epiphany? Because the Magi and Alice and these scientists were seeking more than what they saw. They were not satisfied with the status quo. They knew that there was more, and they had to find it. They were not rational in this desire to follow this star, seek this king, defy the ruler of the country they would go to. They were irrational, and that led them on an encounter that stays with us today. In the early days of the pandemic, I, like so many, thought this will not last long. Just adjust your lifestyle a little bit, change some ways of thinking, alter your patterns, and then, like a commercial break on television, we will resume the show. This interruption of life would go away. As the weeks turned into months, I realized that I was in a disruption, not an interruption. We all were. Only not everyone noticed it. This star that these wise people were following had to have been seen by others. If it was hovering in one place, never moving despite the Earth's rotation, then surely everyone would have seen it. Think back for a moment to the 2017 solar eclipse. For the months leading up to the event, everyone was asking, "Do you have the proper eyewear? Are you going to go someplace to watch it?" Don't forget, this is a moment in history. And even if you hadn't been paying that much attention leading up to it, on the day of the eclipse, you would not have been able to ignore it. Aside from the fact that your eyes would burn if you tried to look at it without the proper eyewear, our social media feeds were filled with people sharing their photos of friends and family at eclipse watch parties. There were people taking off work and traveling to the best spots for watching. And there were lines of cars stopped on the interstate because nobody wanted to miss it. For some, that eclipse was an interruption. For others, it was a disruption. For the Magi, the star was a disruption. And in their dreams, the disruption continued. They allowed their imaginations to work even in sleep, paying attention to how their minds knew they could not go back the way they came. Going back to Herod was a terrible idea. So they went a new way. I wonder what that path led to. For King Herod and his empire, that star was a disruption. Herod, however, was not curious. He was fearful. Herod's disruption led to death for thousands and destruction of families. And for the world and the years since, that disruption continues. The hovering star shined a light on a child who would change the way we connect with God, change the way we experience God, change the way we understood God. The life that Jesus led opened the way for outcasts to be included, for sicknesses to be healed, and for generations to come to share the love and mercy and kindness that was shared with them. And so let's be curious for a moment. Let's use our imaginations to wonder what might be next. Are we paying attention? Are we looking up to see where the stars are? When you live in a world of disruption, the ordinary can become extraordinary. It took me a little while to realize this. In fact, it's in the last few days of reflecting on 2020 that has allowed me to fully see these ordinary to extraordinary moments. There were things that spoke to me and called to me. I would be listening to a podcast where a small comment was made, and that comment inspired a new way for parents to connect. I would be reading a book and come across a sentence that ignited an idea of a game for kids. While mindlessly scrolling through Amazon, I saw a t-shirt that allowed my mind to move to a place where I was able to imagine a safe way to help people gather in person to see each other. There was even a ministry council meeting that sparked a whole new ministry team. These ordinary to extraordinary moments are epiphanies, and they are all around us. These things that seem impossible are brought to life when we allow the divine to speak in any way they choose. So what are we seeking this epiphany? What are we being curious about? What is calling to us in the way the star called to the magi? The way the elements called to the scientists? The way that Alice was called by the white rabbit? What is in us or around us that we might be missing because we are so absorbed in our own world, in our own worries, that we cannot see what's there? We have seen those who have taken this disruption and have allowed their curiosity to help them. We have seen retired folks who once had so many volunteer roles that it filled up their day. They've now discovered the love of being home, have taken up gardening and writing and painting. We've seen children learn how to bake and cook and draw and build simply because they had the time and space to do so. We have witnessed a surge in virtual tours and online learning courses that are solely for our imaginations and our curiosities. And we have seen people understand that we are all more connected than we ever imagined, and that what I do in my life surely does impact yours. So this year, this epiphany, let us all take a moment to allow ourselves the gifts of imagination, curiosity, and wonder. Let us look for the stars that are drawing us to something, even if we're not sure what it is. But we believe that it is better than what we have. Let us be like the Magi, our lives disrupted by the possibilities of what is out there. Something new that God has for us. And may we discover in that newness something about ourselves and our world. And may we see another piece of God's dream for all of us. Amen.